I've got the sparse, the sickness. There's the twins in my brain.
After a sunny edition of Amstel Gold Race and a soaking wet race at Flesh Wallen, it's time for the last classic this spring. Liège, Bastogne-Liège. Mighty Tadej Pogacar returns to battle Mathieu van der Poel in the Belgian Ardennes, while Lotto Kopecky has her eyes on a first victory in La Doyenne. Welcome to a new episode of the Domestique Cycling Podcast. Joining me today is Bram. Bram, it's good to see you back.
Yeah, it's been a while. I feel like it's been a couple of weeks. So it's nice to be back, and as well for the last monument for a while. So it's also the last big race, single day race for a while, before we kind of start stage racing season and Grand Tour season, really.
You must be a monuments guy, Bram, because I looked it up and the last episode you were there was a Tour of Flanders preview. Did you enjoy the races that followed?
Yeah, honestly, just of course, Flanders, Van der Poel, that was an amazing performance. And then, well, the next week as well. So just two stellar performances, maybe not the most exciting racing in those, because of those performances, but you just gotta admire the artist at work.
You can enjoy solo as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you know, it's a little bit boring, but at the same time, you really got to enjoy it while you have it, because you're seeing potentially one of the all-time greats at work. I think our parents or grandparents would say, oh, I've seen Eddy Merckx ride. We get to say that we've seen Mathieu van der Poel ride.
Last week, Ethan and I previewed Amstel Gold Race here. How did you rate our preview?
I think it was pretty damn good. Of course, everyone went into the hype of Van der Poel, and I think that was very understandable. But you guys nailed it on the head with Pidcock as well, especially you, I think, called him out as your favorite. So, yeah, well done.
Thank you, Ben. Tom Pidcock winning Amstel Gold Race. Was that a kind of surprise to you?
I mean, he's been on the podium twice, so calling it a surprise would kind of be a lie. But of course, Van der Poel was the favorite, but he just didn't have as good of a day, and also made a tactical mistake. But I really liked how the guys rode to, well, get out away from him instead of just letting him dominate the race and just waiting for his attack. I think a lot of other riders lost their race because they were just waiting on Van der Poel.
The world champion himself, he said afterwards he didn't feel that strong to react on every move or to even bring out a move himself. Do you think the opponents learned some lessons towards Liège this Sunday?
Yeah, I think they just have to race out of their own strengths. Now they're in races that Van der Poel has a disadvantage because of the type of terrain. So they need to take all the advantage they have in their own terrain, mainly the climbers. So yeah, just attack and like attack him. And I think that's something that in the Flemish classics we've seen some of it. But when Van der Poel wanted to go, he went, and nobody could follow. So I think here we can expect a different scenario.
The front group that battled for the win contained names as Pidcock, Hirschi, Benoot and Van Zevenaart. Were those the riders you expected before the race?
All but one. I did not expect Van Zevenaart there, and I think very few people did. I think he was not even scheduled to race it. He only arrived at the hotel the day before out of altitude camp. So honestly, that's an amazing performance to then put down. And also already a little bit saving the spring for Soudal Quickstep. Of course, it's not a podium, but considering the spring they've had, I think this is a very good result with a very unexpected rider, perhaps, although we know his quality.
It's good to see that a rider as Mauri van Zevenaart gets the opportunity when Remco Evenepoel is out due to injury, and then he takes it as well. So that's really nice to see. But van Zevenaart himself, he said, I lacked knowledge about the terrain we were raced on, about the course. He was like 12 hours in the car 2 days before Amstel Gold Race. So it's pretty insane to be at the front in that race if you don't know the track and if you don't know if you've been in the car for that long.
Yeah, especially a twisty course like Amstel Gold Race is. Knowing the terrain, knowing the course is super important. The fact that he's been able to knock out a fourth place without that knowledge, it's insane. He must have had some really good guidance from the team car to be able to achieve that. But yeah, also I think in the group behind you had a Lecerf, I think would also have had a good result. And it's just nice to see that team sort of giving opportunities to other guys now that Remco is not there. Because Vrvaka also had a shot at it. Other teams were also very interesting. I think EF Education, their tactics were a little bit questionable. I think Van Zevenant didn't expect him. The other three, yeah, they were to be expected.
It's been a horrible month for Team Visma Lisa Bike. Losing Wout van Aert in the crash at Dwars door Vlaanderen, losing Jonas Vingegaard at Basque Country. But this week they received kind of good news. Van Aert is back on the bike. Vingegaard is finally left the hospital in Spain. And Thijs Benoot, yeah, he fought for the win. After all the problems he had this spring classic, it's really strong what he's doing, isn't it?
I think he's also kind of riding with his head in the clouds. He became a father this week in between Amstel Gold and Flesh Wallon. So he's had a pretty long season already. Like, he's able to stretch his form from very early Flemish classics all the way up till Liège. I think now he's sort of entering the races where he probably has a little bit more chances. I think Amstel is a really great race for him. Liège as well, but it's going to, well, you have a certain Slovenian who lines up there, so it's going to be hard.
And Dish himself, he said before Flesh Wallon, yeah, I barely slept because of the child. And then, yeah, he ate some sandwiches with cheese in the hospital. And then you get to ride in that cold. It must be terrifying to be in there.
Yeah, that's going to be a shock to the system for sure.
Back to the winner of Amstel Gold Race, Tom Pidcock. He's doing, basically all of the races. He's doing Grand Tours. He's targeting one-day races. He's mountain biking a bit. He's doing cyclocross. Don't you think he should choose a certain area?
I think that's a discussion we've had, well, ever since the generation of cyclocrossers came up with Wout, with Mathieu, now with Pidcock as well. Obviously you would want them to choose and excel in a certain field, but their versatility is what makes them the riders they are. Not to say, like, I think if Pidcock were to choose, I think he'd be he'd be a lot more dominant than he is now, because right now he doesn't win a lot of races, not at all, considering his stature within the team of Ineos. He wins one or two races a year, not a lot more. You would expect him to win more. But when he does win, he wins really nice races.
In your opinion, is he more of a one-day rider or is he more of a Grand Tour rider?
I think he's more of a one-day rider, but we have seen him in Grand Tours, but like always that third week is kind of so far. So you need that really good recovery for those Grand Tours. And maybe that's something he can develop over time. But right now, he's a one-day rider.
I'm pretty sure that question will pop up once again later on this season. Onto the women's race then, at Amstel Gold Race. We did kind of see a joke at the end. Lorena Wiebes, she thought she finally won her dream race, which is Amstel Gold Race. But Marianne Vos, she was still there. Jumped on the line and, took the victory. Your goat?
I mean, not my goat. It is the goat. No, honestly, I felt so bad for Weebus. Like, I was watching it, I was like, oh no, what did she do? And I think, well, she's gonna have had a very bad night's sleep, because her teammates, like, you have a Kopecky giving everything, you have a Volodin giving everything, and then you basically win the sprint, but 5 meters before the line, you put your hands up and Marianna Vos comes by. The emotional damage that does cannot be underestimated. But
do you think this was Weebus' addition to win due to the race being neutralized for like an hour?
Yeah, I mean, so many climbs were taken out. Yeah.
Do you think some opportunities will come again in the future at Amstel Gold Race for her, or is the race too hard?
I think she's developing into a rider that can also win it into the future. If you compare her, like, Weebus today with the Weebus of 2 or 3 years ago, she was a pure sprinter. There was no shot she would get to the line in Amstel. But now, yeah, I think she could still do it. At that team, if you have a Volodin and a Kopecky, although next year you're not going to have a Volodin anymore. So if Kopecky wants to win that race, I think she'll be the more likely pick in that team. But of course, on Sunday, the tactic to play out Weebus was the right one.
I remember as last year having some doubts about the future of Marianne Vos due to her injuries. But now this spring classic, she won Omloop het Nieuwsblad, Dwars door Vlaanderen, now Amstel Gold Race.
She's back.
I have no words for that, actually.
37 years old, 251 victories.
Enough and said. Counting.
Yeah, it's not stopping. It's incredible what she's doing. Like, if you just mention, oh yeah, her first win was in, like, I think 2006. That's insane. She's still winning big races. Exactly.
The peloton on Wednesday, they went to the Belgian Ardennes, but apparently they forgot the sun in the Netherlands. It was a soaking wet edition of La Flèche Wallonne. Isn't it weird what that does to the human body?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think 44 riders finished. And I'm honestly surprised it's that much, because those conditions, and also the racing action that sort of prevented people to dress up properly, those are just brutal. Sleet, wet snow, rain, wind. Those bodies will be... I don't think that's just the next day you get out of bed and you feel rested after a day like that.
Well, Matthias Kjellmose, before the race, he was really confident about taking the win. He said, I feel better than last year, and last year Tadej Pogacar was here, but he wasn't there this year. He was among the favorites that were dropped really early on in the race, together with Dylan Teuns, Peo Bilbao, Tom Pidcock. Did you see the images of Skelmose's body that was shaking when he abandoned the race?
That was not nice to look at. I mean, it's kind of incredible the lengths that these athletes go to do their sport, their job. But if you see, he's still a young guy, like, just having to be helped off his bike, picked up and carried over the barriers. Like, we've seen that happen in cyclocross with ADs a bit, but that really makes you think, like, that this is not normal.
Skelmose himself, he said, I think he rode about 120 or 140 kilometers, but it felt like he did a monument. And on Sunday, there's a new one coming.
Yeah, I don't know how he's going to recover.
Recover from that?
I'm no doctor, I would have to assume there's some longer term, like, damage from hypothermia, because it did look like he had hypothermia. That there has to be an impact on your body. It can't recover that quickly.
I really wouldn't be surprised if Skelmose lacks the final punch in the final of Liège on Sunday because of what happened on Wednesday, to be honest. You already said it, 44 riders finished La Flèche Wallonne, which means 75% of the riders abandoned the race. There was only one team of which all riders finished. The Vikings of Uno X Mobility. That can't be coincidence.
No, that's not a coincidence at all. They're used to this. They're built for this weather. And yeah, they're just able to cope with it so well. Honestly, it was really fun to see. Also, the engagement from Thomas de Gent afterwards, asking whatever those X riders had for breakfast, I want some. And then they sent, I think it was Johannessen who sent a picture of their dessert, which was an ice cream. After a very long and cold day, they had ice creams for dessert. Legends.
Stevie Williams, he took his second World Tour victory of the season. Mm-hmm. And that's something unique because the first one was Tour Down Under, a stage race. Now he wins a one-day race. Were you surprised about his final kick on the final ascent of Mu de Huy?
Considering the speed of the others, yeah. I think all the others were also going full, and he just kicked off and rode away like it was nothing. Of course it wasn't, but it was a hell of a kick. You would not expect that a guy would still have that after such a kind of brutal race. But yeah, really, really impressive. And also considering that his last win was Australia, now in the very hot weather, now Flesh in like almost winter weather, shows a lot of breath.
To give an indication of what the weather conditions do to riders in such a race, the final kilometer of this year's Flèche Wallonne was the slowest final kilometer since 2003, when Igor Astarloa won from the breakaway. It's pretty insane.
It's also really not surprising. You could already see in the previous ascents up the Mooch. It was not going to be a very fast ascent, the last one, because everyone was already so dead.
You know what the problem is when you go up Mu de Huy? Your body temperature goes up, and then you go into the descent when like it's snowing, raining, all the water coming into your face, then it's the body is cooling down again, and it's going up, going down, going up, going down all the time. Not even the course, also your body temperature must be, horrific.
Yeah, like it makes it really difficult to like do clothing properly, because you're constantly thinking, okay, I need to take off a jacket, but then you get over top and you want to have it back. But yeah, I think I also want to call out the racing tactics from UAE. Right when it starts to rain, they pick up the pace. Nobody can go get rain jackets, because if they
That's
do, they get
Scale
dropped.
That's what Moses said. I didn't even have the time to put on a jacket because of those UAE guys.
I think a lot of riders were really angry with what UAE did. Of course, they're allowed to do it. And I think did one of their riders finish? I'm not sure. But they definitely killed off their own favorite as well. Hirschi, like, he also got dropped on the next time up the Mute. So yeah, they sort of just killed themselves as well.
Do you think the race should have been neutralized?
If this was a stage in a Grand Tour, we would have said yes, this stage should have been shortened or neutralized, like extreme weather protocol should be applied. But because it's a one-day race, it's kind of allowed. I'm not sure if I like that double standard. Like you could take away one ascent of the Mute and do one less. Like it's the course leans itself to be shortened because you pass that finish line so often. So yes, you could have done it, and honestly, for riders' health, it was probably also for the better, but riders also had a lot of opportunities to get off the bike because of that.
Bram, you ride your bike from time to time as well. What would you be doing, knowing that if you go up Mu de Huy and the team bus is on top, Would you do another lap in the rain and in the cold? Or would you get on the bus?
I'd get in the bus, 100%. Like that's not even, I wouldn't even have to think of it. Like, I think just first ascent, if I was already really cold, I'd get in the bus.
How happy were you for Kasia Niewiadoma taking her first win after 5 years?
Oh, you wouldn't believe, like, I was so happy. She's gotten so close so often, and she's just one of those riders that is so likable. And you can, she always has her emotions on full display, which in sports is something beautiful. You can see how much a win or a loss means to someone, and Kasia is just a wonderful person for that.
We've seen her in tears multiple times because of missing the podium, getting second place, mm-hmm. and then now finally taking that win. Let's hope this is a new start for Kasia Niewiadoma, and that a lot of victories can follow on this one. On to Liège, the final one-day race of this spring campaign, and mighty Tadej Pogacar is returning. Are you happy about him being back?
I'm happy whenever Tadej Pogacar races. It just, he adds something to the sport that very few others do. So, yeah, obviously having him line up at Liège is great. It's too bad some other guys aren't starting because of injuries. But yeah, that's the sport.
It's such a pity that of all the big battles that were predicted before the season, you know, like in December, January, we are the ones listing wherever the big guys will race. And then you get, yeah, Evenepoel will take on Pogacar in Liège, Wout van Aert will take on Van der Poel in those races.
But and Roglic was supposed to be here as well.
Roglic was supposed to be there, but in the end, we didn't get to see a single battle of those. It's, yeah, this is a cruel sport, not only for the riders.
Yeah, I mean, you look forward to seeing these battles. I think we just have to think back for last year as well. We were also expecting a Tadej versus Remco battle, and then after, what was it, 50 kilometers, the battle was already over with Tadej's crash. Yeah, we don't, the audience doesn't always get what they want, but of course the loss is a lot bigger for the riders because they have to recover for so long and get back on a decent level.
Absolutely. From time to time, I go take a look at the stats of Tadej Pogacar to remember myself of how insane he is. He had 9 race days so far this season, all World Tour races. He took 5 wins. So that means on Sunday, he can take 6 out of 10 wins on race days.
Yeah, I mean, there's only one who has similar statistics on percentage, and that's someone else who's lining up as well, Van der Poel. But yeah, like...
And still the Slovenian says we have multiple cards to play in my team.
Yeah, okay, that's what you're supposed to say, but come on, everyone knows that it's for Tadej on Sunday.
If all goes well, so without bad luck, do you think anyone can beat Tadej Pogacar?
No, not really. He's coming from altitude. Like before his training camp, he was already very dominant. He could just do whatever he wanted, except for in Milan-San Remo, where he didn't get away. Now he's going to be even better. So and on terrain that suits him even more. So no, I don't expect anyone to be able to beat him.
Let's start the eternal discussion. Can Mathieu van der Poel ever win Liège?
Yes, but some guys should not be there for that. Mathieu winning Liège has a lot of ifs attached to it. Winning it outright when all other favorites are there is nearly impossible. If the right race circumstances are there, then yes, it is possible. It's same with like Stephen Williams winning Flesch. I think before the race, I would not have put him up as, yeah, sure, he can win it. But due to the race's circumstances, he quickly became a favorite. So same story here. I think no, Mathieu van der Poel cannot win it outright without the right circumstances arising.
If he can't win it this Sunday, what should be his tactics to end up on the podium?
Don't blow up trying to follow Tadej. I think that's the biggest risk.
So basically follow everyone else but Tadej Pogacar.
Yeah, I think Mathieu is always someone who, of course, races for winning. But I think this time around, he has to potentially change that mindset and just say to other guys, like, I'm not racing to win this race. Like, I know he's too strong. I'm not going to try. You guys try. I'll follow you. Go ahead.
Besides Mathieu van der Poel, who are the main competitors for a podium place, in your opinion?
I would say Pidcock, after also his performance of last year. And of course, his performance at Amstel. He's in really good shape. His performance at Flesch, I don't think we can take any conclusions from that with the weather. And then, yeah, maybe a Williams, Van Gils.
Maxime Van Gils, he was on my list as well. Podium spot at Strade Bianche, podium spot last Wednesday at Flèche Wallonne. I think seventh place at Milano Sanremo, he really saved the spring campaign of Lotto Destiny himself.
Yeah, I mean, with them losing Deli, I think he's like the progression he's made since last year, it's incredible. Also just the guy he is, he's still very down to earth. He's very relaxed in all the interviews. Of course, he did do a very bad thing last year in Guangxi, I think it was, which of course is very stupid of him. But I really like the guy, and honestly, his performances this year have really saved the spring for Lotto Destiny.
And he seems to be humble as well in his interviews. I don't know.
Yeah. He's just a very likable guy throughout.
There's one more thing I would like to mention. It's about Michael Matthews. I don't think he's one of the favorites for Sunday, but he said before the race at La Flèche Wallonne, he did his best 1 minute power ever in his career on a training ride before Amstel Gold Race. That's striking, isn't it? Because his spring campaign has been pretty long, and then before Amstel Gold Race, you do your best 1 minute power.
Yeah, and also for like someone like Michael Matthews, who's 33, you would assume that power levels are going well. They're not really going up that much for riders at that age. So that's absolutely insane. But just he's had an insane year. Just really strong performances. It's if I had to say that before the season, like Michael Matthews is going to have a really strong spring season, I would not have expected it. Especially after his Tour de France last year. I thought, okay, he's riding more attacking now. He's going to be more of an attacking rider. But I think still in his tactics, you can see he's really relying on that sprint.
You already said it's impossible for Mathieu van der Poel to win Liège on Sunday. What about the other world champion, Lotto Kopecky? She has her eyes on Liège for a long time now. Do you think it's possible for her?
Yeah, I think so. I think in Amstel, she, well, gave up all her odds for Bibas. But yeah, I think like the form she's displayed in the previous races, like Ronde and Roubaix, it's just clearly in good shape. And the terrain, like she's gotten a lot stronger in climbing. I think the main competition, yeah, like a Longo Borghini, a Nibia Doma.
I think the fact that Demi Vollering didn't win Flèche Wallonne helps her as well. If Vollering had won Flesh Wallen, she could say, yeah, but look at me, I won as well. But the Vollering we've seen this spring wasn't the Vollering we saw last year. And the fact that she's leaving the team might make it a little easier.
Yeah, I mean, I think in the race, decisions will have to be made. Just the Vollering we've seen this year, it's not the same Vollering from last year. She's done a lot of training camps. Like, she apparently really loves to do altitude camps on Tere, which very few riders actually love doing, but she does. But yeah, something's not right. She's just not winning the races that she should be quite, like last year, she was quite dominant in those races and she could do what she wanted, but now, no.
All right, Bram. Can we conclude that Tadej Pogačar and Lotto Kopecky will win the fourth monument of the season?
I think with Tadej Pogačar, we can be pretty sure. With Kopecky, she's going to have more competition. So I don't want to call that one for sure. But I think she has a real shot at it.
Good. That's a wrap for today's Domestic Cycling Podcast. If you enjoyed listening or watching, don't forget to hit the like button and to subscribe to our show. We'll see you again next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I've got the sparse, the sickness, there's the twins in my brain.